give me a few seconds. I'll be up and running here. Well, just to get this out of the way for anyone who is listening online or any visitors here, I am not the normal preacher, so you will see things that happen that I do that are not like a normal preacher. I won't be smooth. I won't be unwavering. My voice will shake. I'll quiver, maybe even crack, and my knees will maybe give way, hopefully not. But just so you know, I'll get that out of the way. But now getting on to the lesson. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this morning I have the greatest living product that you will ever need. I need you to just give me a few minutes and out of your time, and I will show you something that will change your life forever. We've all seen late night TV. We've all seen this picture, very common. You can look online and find it anywhere, as seen on TV. We've all seen this, where they try to sell you a gazillion products. Some of the ones that products that we're told that we just can't live without: OxiClean. Don't waste your clothes. You wear it once, you get a stain, use OxiClean. It'll get it out. You're working on your car and you just don't have enough hands. You got to grab it. You just stick your tools on there and you just pull it right out. Too much space, not enough space in your house, use space bags. You can condense all your clothes. And these products you just have to have. And my personal favorite, can't have a commercial without it, is the Snuggie. It is the blanket with sleeves. I mean, what an idea. These are not products that you cannot live without, let me tell you. But today I'm going to show you something that you cannot live without. What I have is as what's found in the Bible. This is what everybody needs. The Bible is the Word of God, the actual Word of God. And this morning I'm going to show you some things that are going to prove that this is actually the Word of God. And why you need it. It claims to be inspired. This doesn't seem very significant, but as we go along, you'll see why this is significant. As the scripture reading that we read this morning, claims to be inspired, but let me look at, first off, how we got the Bible. 2 Peter 1:19, it says, "We also have more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed of us, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, unto the day and dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This is how we got the Bible. Men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost and wrote it down. And we have many proofs to show that this truly is the Word of God. Claims to be inspired, as our scripture reading said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works." Not only does it claim to be inspired, but archaeology backs it up. And I was so interested, I wanted to do 10 pages of archaeology finds that they have found, but I chose just a few to look at. "Each summer, hundreds of professional archaeologists and interested volunteers descend on the land of Israel and tear up as much as possible, all in the name of science. Their purpose? To find ancient biblical cities. Excavation results in 1996 in Israel provided some especially exciting discoveries at the modern coastal site of Tel Mequin." I had no idea. "Excavators found the name of the ancient site inscribed on a burial stone monument 2,700 years ago. Tel Mequin was known as the ancient biblical name Ekron, the Philistine city. As Masada, the desert mountaintop fortress of King Herod, archaeologists cleared an ancient garbage dump. In the debris, they found pieces of discarded ancient storage jar. Written in ink on the jar's shoulder was the Latin phrase, Herod, King of the Jews." This is the first ancient inscription ever discovered with both the names and the title of the infamous Jewish king who killed the babies in Bethlehem. At the northern Galilee site of Tel Hazar, four city clay tablets were found. Two were dated to the period of Joshua, all inscribed in cuneiform script. One mentioned the site's ancient biblical name, Hazar. Major digs also taking place at numerous sites of the Old Testament and New Testament cities. Ancient Hebron, the home of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Philistine city of Ashkelon. The imposing tell of Bethshan, Del Dan, famous from the biblical phrase, from Dan to Beersheba. The northern seaport of Dor and the ancient Hazar are yielding their secrets to the excavators. New Testament period sites include Bethshan of Decapolis, laid out as a grid on the four of the ancient tell, Caesarea Philippi, the Galilean city visited by Jesus in the New Testament, the ancient port of the Sea of Galilee and the home of some of the apostles, Bethsaida, Caesarea, Martima, the site of King Herod's famous harbor, and the trials of the Apostle Paul. Just a few. They found so many things that I couldn't even put it all in this lesson. I think we could go on and on and on. The walls of Jericho have been found. They have found, or still exist, the theater in which the apostles almost were persecuted when they spoke up about Christ and the silversmiths, as we studied a little bit about that in our gospel meeting not too long ago. It's just amazing that archaeologists have found all these things that are in the Bible. And in some books and in websites that I found, they even claim that it seems like some archaeologists, they look at the Bible, look to see where it was, and then they go and dig it up and find it. It's just that exact, that they can find what is in the Bible. I know the city of Ai was something that people always brought up, that it was never found, and that's why it never the Bible is wrong. And studying in school, we found out that the city of Ai had been discovered, and it was just as the Bible said. And it's amazing, isn't it? Archaeology backs up the Bible. Not only archaeology, but science backs up the Bible. Some things that are in science. It is a known fact that the stars are innumerable. They have not ever been able to find and number all the stars. The Bible said that. Jeremiah 33:22, "The hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites, the minister unto me." We also know that was promised of the promise of Abraham, that his descendants would be as the stars, innumerable. Still a fact that science has not numbered all the stars. They've tried, and there was many guesses, but never proven to be all the stars. Something else in science, the dinosaurs. We know that they exist. We've dug them up. We found the bones. In Job, it describes what I believe is a dinosaur. "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron." To me, this is a pretty good example of what I believe is a Brontosaurus. The large one eats grass, tail like a cedar. I mean, again, this is in the Bible way before we've dug it up. But we've found proof in the Bible. The earth suspended on nothing. This is something very interesting, because it seems if you go back in history and read what they believe, there was a Greek god that was holding the earth, or the earth was on a shell of a turtle. Well, no. If you do some research, you find out that the Jews believe that the earth was suspended. Why did the Jews believe that the earth was suspended? Well, what does Job 26:7 say? "He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." There's no strings attached to the earth. We know it. We've proved it. We've been out in the atmosphere and have seen the earth hanging on nothing. Science, again, has proven the Bible to be true. Life's in the blood. We know it. If you drain your blood, you will die. Science has finally discovered it. Science has realized it. Well, what did the Bible say many years earlier? Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." The life is in the blood. We know it in science. The Bible spoke about it many years before. The science backs up the Bible. Something interesting, another fact, is that what is believed to have 40 separate writers over 16 years of time and 66 books and no contradictions. Very important, as we'll go on, you'll see why I wanted to make sure that we brought this up. Don't be fooled by any imitations. There's a lot of imitations out there. Something that claims to be equal with the Word of God, the Book of Mormon. They say, oh, well, you study the Book of Mormon and you study the Bible together. And they go in together and that's what it is. Let me explain to you why that's not true. First off, let's look at how they got the Book of Mormon. This is claiming how they got the Book of Mormon. This is the angel Moroni appeared to Joseph Smith in 1823 and told him that there was an ancient record of some of the inhabitants of the Americas that had been preserved on golden plates. The plates had been buried in a hill and not far from the home of young Joseph. He was instructed to go to the hill, and he was told that he would be permitted to obtain the plates after a four-year period. After he received the plates in 1827, it was still some time before he could begin the work of the translation. The translation was then carried out through the gift and the power of God, as described. The book was published in 1830. Now, not only did Joseph Smith see this, but he has three witnesses. Here's those witnesses' testimony. Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people unto whom this work shall come, that we, through the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, have seen the plates which contain this record, which is a record of the people of Nephi, and also the Lamanites, and their brethren, and also the people of Jared, who come from the tower which hath spoken, and we also know that they have been translated by the gift of power of God, for his voice hath declared it unto us. Wherefore we know the surety in the plates, and have been shown unto us by the power of God, and not of man. And we declare the words of soberness, that an angel of God came down from heaven, and he brought and laid before our eyes that we behold, and saw the plates and the engravings thereon. And we know that it is the grace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ that we beheld and bear record, that these things are true and is marvelous in our eyes. Nevertheless, the voice of the Lord commanded us that we should bear record of it, wherefore to be obedient unto the commandments of God, we bear testimony of these things, and we know that if we are faithful in Christ, we shall rid our garments of the blood of all men, and be found spotless before the judgment seat of God, and shall dwell with him eternally in the heavens, and the honor be Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, which is one God. Amen. Signed, Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmore, and Martin Harris. Very important to remember this page, because it's going to come back to, I believe, haunt the Mormons for a long time. Don't be fooled by the Book of Mormon. All those witnesses that said that they've seen it, they believe it, they were there. Let's see what happened to them later on in life. Joseph Smith himself called into question the moral integrity of at least four. I'm sorry, there was the three witnesses, and later on, 11 more seen it. So just so you know, so there was more witnesses, as they say, to these plates. But Joseph Smith himself called into question the moral integrity of at least four of the 11 witnesses in history of the church. Volume 3, 232. He wrote such characters as McClellan, John Whitmore, David Whitmore, Oliver Cowdery, and Martin Harris are too mean to mention, and we have liked to have forgotten them because they have dared leave the Latter-day Saints Church. These men and others were later driven away after being accused of being united in the gang of counterfeiters. These liars, backlegs, and the deepest die. To deceive, cheat, and defraud, that's in the Senate document 189-184-1, page 91. These men who claim to have been there, they've seen these plates. They're known as being thieves, liars, counterfeiters. It just amazes me that they base their religion on the witness of men that nobody could trust. And later on, these men left the church, the Mormon church, the Church of Latter-day Saints, as it's known today. It just amazes me. The Book of Mormon is an imitation. It is not a true revelation. Something else that I found, that archaeology does not in any way back up the Book of Mormon. They speak of all these sites in the Book of Mormon. Never found them. Never found one of the sites of the Book of Mormon. What was claimed to be, I'm sorry, I should have gave you a little more background, is the Book of Mormon was supposedly the lives of those in the United States, some Jews that had traveled to the United States, and that was what the Book of Mormon was, like the Israelites over in Israel, well, these Jews were in the United States. And it speaks of all these places in the Book of Mormon that these people went and journeys that they took. Archaeology hasn't found not one of these sites that they claim. And here is someone who is high up in the Mormon church. What he says is, it says, though we cannot speak authority or precisely about the location of Book of Mormon sites, we can, by a visit to Mesoamerica, create a mental tapestry resembling the land and circumstances in which the story actually happened. Well, we can't find it, but you can believe it. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things you can believe in your mind that don't exist. The movies show that every day. Making worlds where you can transport one way or the other just by holding a hand and saying a magic word. And worlds where there's dinosaurs still living with man. And worlds where we can just fly if we just think happy thoughts, right? I'm not going to believe, base my soul on something that I cannot get backed up in archaeology if it mentions so many places. Again, don't be fooled by this imitation. What about the Quran? Another book claims to be one with the Bible. Another book that is claimed to have been a revelation to a prophet, and he wrote it down, and we are to follow. They claim that Allah is the same as our God that we read about in the Bible. Give you a little bit of history. In this book, The Holy Prophet's Life, the history of Arabs, and the events which occurred during the period of the revelation of the Quran have now been mingled in the divine verses, as in the case with the Bible. The Quran is the pure word of God, not one therein is not divine. Not a single word has been deleted from its text. The book has been handed down to our age in its complete and original form since the time the Prophet Muhammad. From the time the book began to be revealed, the Holy Prophet had dictated its text to the scribes. Whenever some divine message would be revealed, the Holy Prophet would call a scribe and dictate his words to him. The written text was read out to the Holy Prophet, whom, having satisfied himself that the scribe had committed no error of recording, would put the manuscript in safe custody. The Holy Prophet used to instruct the scribe about the sequence in which a revealed message was to be placed in a particular surah or chapter. In this manner, the Holy Prophet continued to arrange the text of the Quran in systematic order to the end of the chain of revelations. Again, it was ordained from the beginning of Islam that a recitation of the Holy Quran must be an integral part of the worship. Hence, the illustrious companions would commit the divine verses to memory as soon as they were revealed. Many of them learned the whole text, and a far larger number had memorized different portions of it. So this is where they claim to have gotten the Quran. It is brought that this prophet Muhammad has received a revelation of God, spoke it to some scribes, and they wrote it down. And they double-checked it to make sure that everything was right. Well, they need to work on their double-checking. Here again, as I mentioned, they believe that the Bible and the Quran go hand in hand. Well, let's look at something that's in the Quran. We, the Jews, slew the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of God. Yet they did not slay him, neither crucify him, only a likeness of that shown to them. And they slew him not of certainty, no, indeed, God raised him up to him, God. What they believe in this passage, as I did some more studying of it, they believe that the Jews didn't kill Christ. It was all a hoax. They made it look like they did, but really what happened is the Lord just brought him up into heaven without ever being on the cross. Does that go alongside with the Bible? No, it doesn't. Not at all. This is what I really found to be interesting. In the Surah, number 2, 106, if you try to find this, it was what I've, as studying all these lessons, they said that the chapters and verses in the Quran are not all the same in every single Quran, not like our Bible, where we can go to 2 Timothy and read that exact passage. They're kind of mismatched a little bit. So if you look, you know, you may have to look a little harder, but this verse is in there. So if you're not using the exact version that I had found. It says, nothing of our revelation, even a single verse, do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, but we in one place, one better or like thereof, knoweth that thou, that Allah, is able to do all things. Well, I looked up this abrogate, and what this doctrine is, and this is the doctrine that they hold, is to abolish by formal or official means, annul by unauthoritative act, repeal or to abrogate a law, to put aside, to put an end to. Well, in studying this verse that they put in there, what they're basically saying is, well, nothing that's in there is false that we know. And if it is false, Allah will change it, because He can do that. So, again, this is not something that I want to base my faith on. Well, it should be right. I'm pretty sure it's right, but if not, it'll be corrected later on. Not what we read in the Bible, not what we read in the scripture reading. It says all scripture. Another book that claims to, well, this one doesn't even claim to be inspired, which it amazes me, but the Catholics and some other forms of churches use this book, and that's apocryphal writings. What's more known, some of the books in it is the Book of Maccabees 1, 2, 3. And it amazes me that they put this up there with the Bible, and nowhere in it does it even claim to be inspired. They don't even claim to be inspired. It's not even like the Book of Mormon or the Quran. These books don't even claim to be inspired. They found these were mixed in with some old texts back in Bible times that they found digging up. Not even all of them, just in some very few of them. But they thought they'd throw them in to their Bible and they're going to follow them because they all equal out with the Bible. It's all the same. They mesh and they gel together. No, they don't. If you start reading it again, you find so many. I mean, there's pages of pages of contradictions in this book that go with the Bible. One of these things, 2 Maccabees 12, 43 and 45, speaking of praying and giving money for the dead. 2 Maccabees 12, 43, 45. He also took up a collection and sent it to Jerusalem to provide for a sin offering, for if he were not expecting that those who had fallen asleep would rise again, it would be have superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. Therefore he made atonement for the dead that they might be delivered from their sin. Does the Bible speak of this? No. What does the Bible speak about? What is the story of Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man is in hell, or in paradise, but in torment. And we have Lazarus in paradise. And the rich man is just begging for just a drop of water. You know, was the rich man in that place because his family just didn't give enough money or didn't pray hard enough? No. He was in there because of the way he lived. Nowhere in the Bible do we read of that after you are dead, do you ever have a second chance to make it into heaven. The Bible has so many things that you can learn. How to have a happy marriage, it's in there. How to treat your wife, it's in there. How to treat your husband, it's in there. How to raise great children, why am I here? Where did I come from? What church do I go to? What is heaven? What is the plan of salvation? What is sin? Can sin stop me from getting to heaven? How do I deal with someone weaker in faith? How do I deal with an erring brother? Homosexual marriage, premarital sex, problems at work, miracles, death. All the answers to all these problems, all these questions that so many have, is in the Bible. You want to know how to live, it's in the Bible. All you have to do is pick it up, study it, and follow it. Again, no contradictions, proven by archaeology, proven by science, proven by reading it and studying it, and applying what's in it to your life. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of some of your peers here today. Since following the Bible, my life is hopeful. I have a real hope. I have a purpose in life. My path is more clear. One that grew up in the church, difficulties have always been easier for me since I grew up following the Bible. My faith has increased. And I now have a family. All great things that have come about by following the Bible. This is not an imitation. This is the actual Word of God. In conclusion, I urge you today to pick up the Bible, to follow it. Today you have found the true and only living Word of God. It's right there in front of you. If you don't have it, come and see me and I'll gladly get you a copy of it. Today you can have the chance to start following it and to change your life. No longer living with all these life's questions. You can get all your answers just by reading it. This morning, if you have not become a Christian and have started following the Word of God, right now is your chance. Hurry before your time is too late. I don't know how much time you still have on this earth, but as we have looked at, you don't get a second chance once you're dead. That's it. I urge you to make that decision today before your time has run out. This time, if you have need of being baptized, you have that chance, or want to make your life right and repent of your sins, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.